This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast 161. The date is the 3rd of September 2025. And for those of you that are hopefully watching us on YouTube, and if you're not, you might want to come across and have another look on YouTube. We have Henry Viola Hare here as my co-host, as usual, a brilliant co-host. However, he's not in his usual attire, folks. He's got his I'm on holiday attire on. You might want to have a look at this outfit. How are you doing, Henry?
Hello, Peter. Greetings from Santorini, my friend. I am indeed in the finest Hawaiian shirt I own. Scaring the locals, enjoying a glass of wine. Got my feet up, wheeling and dealing.
Fantastic, mate. Fantastic to see you so happy. Recharging your batteries after what's been an hectic, well, previous 9 months, 8 months, 8.5 months, including what we did, what is now 3 weeks ago-ish. It seems to have gone by very, very quickly, despite all the work that we had to do to actually get it off the ground and successful. So I'm going to go to you first, Henry, for you to share. Hopefully everyone's watched number 160, which was the recording of our Investor Summit live appearance, which Henry and I did together on the day, which was very nervy, but excellent. Share your experience of the day, mate. What was your take of it and highlights, lowlights, whatever?
I absolutely loved it, Peter. I don't think I stopped smiling all day. I felt like a kid the night before Christmas. I woke up at 6:30 in the morning. I practically leapt out of bed, ran all the way up to the brewery, and I was really, really touched by how many of the audience came to see us. We had Jane all the way from Germany. We had Neville from Northern Ireland. We had a cast of familiar faces, almost too many to name. You know, we had Pat there. We had Andy flying finance. We had the wonderful Matt Gregory, who, you know, you lassoed, for those that haven't been on social media, Peter lassoed poor old Matt, dragged him up on stage with no prep, got him talking about Games Workshop. And I think my enduring memory of the day was really just how fantastic it was. Everybody I spoke to had a lovely time. And it was so much appreciated on my part, just how much work had gone in from you, from the Copia team, from Donald, from Sam Bell, from all the audio visual guys, from the event managers, just to make the thing work. Because from my point of view, I could just turn up as a speaker and have a lovely day, see loads of the audience, meet loads of new friends, and just have a really lovely time. And that's testament to just how much work went in behind the scenes to make all of that happen. So yeah, absolutely stellar success in my opinion.
Thank you ever so much. I think one of my enduring memories from it all was just the buzz in the main room where the drinks were, where the food was, and everyone was just chatting and the vibe, and there was no one isolated. People were just, you know, networking, communicating, and just being there for everyone and being inclusive. And that was before we started sharing the alcohol out, you know, at the end of the day. But we had some fantastic speakers, and I'm going to have to give them a shout out here, people, because we had we started off with Lord Lee, who had gave a fantastic welcome address to us, and he was absolutely awesome. And again, this is what people don't realize about Lord Lee when he does presentations and gives keynotes, is that he's actually quite a very serious guy. But underlying that, he loves a bit of banter. And I won't share the joke with you. You're going to have to go and listen to his keynote on the YouTube channel, which I'll tell you all about later. But he drops it in so subtly, you're thinking, that was actually a little bit wooing a bit. Wow, what you just said there. You know what I mean? A bit naughty, but nice. You know, so subtle. Absolutely brilliant. And then we brought onto stage main keynote, good morning keynote from Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Liberum. Absolutely smashed it out of the park. There were people I know that, oh, I don't do macro, I don't do economics, were actually leaning in on every single word that he was talking about regarding, some of the myths about the markets and et cetera. Absolutely phenomenal. Then we go into the splits for the rooms, didn't we, after that? Yeah.
We
And we
did.
had in one corner the rise of retail with Micah Curry, absolutely brilliant, moderating Will Fenner, James Deal, and Lord Lee. Another room we had Alistair Hunwin doing the next wave of AI disruptions with all things tech going into that deep sort of granular sort of detail. And across from that, we were talking energy with Robert Crayford of CQS, smashed it again. And throughout the day, there was stuff going on. Annabelle Brody Smith with Sue Nofka, Rhys Davies, David Bird. And we were competing, we were up against them, Henry, in our little room. Yeah.
It
So we
wasn't
did
that
our live
little.
podcast
We
against
must have
them.
had nearly 200 people come to listen to us.
We had a reasonable number in there. Yeah, exactly. And across from us there also was Fahim Chowdhury, Tusha Sighani, and Nick Dilsworth of Retail Book talking about putting the public back into public markets. Then everyone went off to lunch at a three-course lunch. You
Oh,
know?
the food was
Sorry,
unbelievable.
so we had a refreshment break then. Sorry, 11:25. Again, food, refreshments was laid on for them. And then we came back in the afternoon with fantastic presentation from Stephen Yeu, from Blue Whale Capital, Justin Urquhart Stewart, who you got to meet, but we got a picture with Justin, didn't
We
we?
did, Mr. Red
Yeah.
Braces.
Yeah, because he came and followed that up, came into the room that we were in. He was talking about global complacency, and we had Jack Kelly from European Growth Transition talking about rare earths and their M&A strategy. Then one of my favorite presentations of the day was Laura Fohl talking about value
Oh,
opportunities in UK
fantastic.
equities. You were in that one with me as
I
well.
was. We were on the front
Yeah.
row, and I just felt like I'd stumbled on an absolute hidden diamond in Laura. I'm sat there on the front row. I've never come across. She was from Lord Debenture. She's the
Lord
front
Adventure,
woman from Lord Debenture. Debenture, not dementia.
No, definitely not. You've been on holiday and too much wine.
Absolutely insightful presentation.
Yes.
Going through a lot of different things, comparing the UK to different sectors all over the world, the relative discounts, wonderfully delivered, really insightful, very,
Absolutely.
very
Super smart
personable.
lady.
And I just came away thinking, how on earth have I never come across this woman before? I'm constantly reading investing material. This is somebody I now want to follow, very impressed with her.
Yeah, exactly. And I noted as well, Andy Flying Finance, the pilot, who was there, was also in that presentation. And subsequently, he actually laid out a post saying, I've exited a particular stock or holding, and I've now gone and bought Lord Adventure stock. So he's gone and made a purchase of her holdings, which is brilliant. Across from Laura was Moira O'Neill, who brilliantly moderated Malvi Varga, Helen Morrissey, and Craig Rickman. Brilliant panelist session there. And then we had the technology panel, technology market, what's moving and shaking, with Neil Shah of Edison and Anthony D'Alton, Nick Brisbane, and Tim Gregory. Then we had that's when we had the three-course lunch, mate, which I was trying to get down my neck. Fantastic food. Everyone was raving about the food, Henry, man. Raving about the food.
It was very, very good. I mean, usually you go to these events and it's a mouldy sausage roll and half a prawn sandwich has been kicked around for a bit. I mean, there was katsu curry, there was fish finger, there was all sorts of really tasty fresh food.
Yeah.
The drinks were excellent, the coffee was excellent, and there was no shortage. Again, you can go to these and it's sort of like feeding time at the zoo, and 1,000 people come crashing in through the doors, and you're lucky if you get a bag of crisps. Whereas this, there was ample.
Yeah, we did well. Beautifully organized by the catering staff as well. They did us a really good service there. Then we start the afternoon, Henry, and we had John Stepek stepping up.
Oh, I went
Yeah.
to see him.
Fantastic. I just
What a
the only
speaker.
thing I would say about John, right, and the only criticism I got is that he likes to laugh at his own jokes. When he said something
Oh.
funny, he will tell you that he said something funny just in case you missed it. But I didn't miss it. I didn't miss a beat. It was so on point. It was so funny.
I thought he was, and to be fair, unlike a lot of the other speakers, he spoke for 45 minutes without any notes whatsoever.
Yeah, in
And I thought
fairness,
that was
absolutely.
very impressive. I mean, you and I,
Yeah.
when we were up on stage, we'd got share scope behind us on the screen. So if
Yeah.
in a crisis you could turn around and go, oh, hang on a minute, what are we talking about? John just got up and delivered.
I just delivered it. Yeah. Bless him with his little pointy clicker thing. Then we had Nick Brin talking about financial markets there, because they run that particular fund for Polarcap. And across from that, we had Fernando Valda talking about de-risking and investing for impact in sub-Saharan Africa. Then, Henry, if my nerves weren't frayed already, I had to go on the main stage to do my fireside chat with Stephen Yeu, co-founder of Blue Whale Growth Fund. And my daughter reminds me that she was sat in the front row, not far from you, I think. Were you in the
Yeah,
first row or the second
we're
row?
all on the front row.
And apparently my notes, which I kept for security purposes, were like
Yeah.
shaking like I don't know what. So I had to put them down on my lap to try and hold them down so I didn't take off from my seat because I was so nervous.
Thought you did very well there. I mean, you've done a lot of interviews with different fund managers over the years, and I always liked your Investing Matters ones that you did with
Yeah.
LSE. And I think it's the fact that you're not pointed in the questions. You're quite nice in the way you deliver them. And you also give the person you're interviewing a chance to answer. So if they've got an anecdote and they want to talk for a while, you give them space to do that. But likewise, if they're a little bit nervous and they're giving you two or three word answers, you're quite quick to follow up and keep them talking to relax them. And that works very well. And you pair that with Stephen, who really is quite a masterful speaker. Yeah, very engaging every time I've listened to him. Clearly knows what he's doing, clearly knows what he's talking about, and isn't afraid to share it. And it was a lovely session that. Thoroughly enjoyed
Thank you,
it.
thank you. He was excellent. And the beautiful thing about Stephen and the whole Blue Whale team is that if they're at an event and there's an audience that wants to speak to them, they'll stay. Yeah. So they'll stay behind after they've done the presentation. They'll stay behind once the stand is finished. They'll stay behind when there's drinks. And I think I had to go back at one stage, in the evening, and I got a note, and they were still in the pub talking to people.
Yeah.
Four of the staff at 10:30. They were still talking. They were drinking as well. They were still
Well, I was
talking
going to say they bought me in
to members of
Verity
the
a drink.
audience.
So
Yeah,
I
brilliant.
was bought a pint of stout by Edouard Malia. We had a very nice conversation. And again, it's the opportunity to talk to somebody who in ordinary life you'd never get the chance to really talk to.
Yeah.
And I find his job endlessly fascinating, institutional fund management. You know, what do you day to day? How do you calm down somebody that's got, half a billion in assets under management with you? Because there's a bit of a difference between that and me putting 50 quid into the fund.
Absolutely. What's their stats now? I think they're at 1.4 billion now from standing start 8 years ago. So yes, yeah, so that's where they're sitting. Across from that, him, whilst we were doing that, and I was, lo losing my will to keep myself still, was Moira O'Neill moderating Lindsay Cook, Nimesh Shah, and Malvi Varja talking about how do the proposed inheritance tax change and affects you. And then we had Pubod Farmer across from that with Ed Bauscher, moderating. I think these were all doctors and professors. Dr. Jeremy Skillington of Poolbeg Pharma, Dr. Brian White, and Dr. Martin Kayser, all specialists in their own fields,
Was
talking
that the
about all
session
things
on oncology developments?
oncology, breakthroughs, barriers, and roads ahead. Yeah. And I'm sharing all this with you, ladies and gents, that are listening to this and thinking, why is he talking about all this stuff about the Investment Summit? Because the majority of the videos and the presentations and the interviews that were done on the day will be slowly permeating through and released onto the Investor Summit YouTube channel at some point, or presented in articles or embedded in different people's websites who were presenting at that, the names that I've given you, the companies that I've spoken about, they will be sharing out this information over the next couple of months. Then we went on a break, Henry, and then we had in your main row the equitization of global markets with David Bell, Joe Winkley, and Cathal Frail, Sarah Content, and Mark Warrior. Now, you've got Joe Winkley, who I know you know that name, but that's not a name that I knew of before. But when I spoke to him afterwards and the subsequent conversations I've had since then, he's a significantly smooth operator in the markets that's been doing a lot of stuff for a lot of years. And I
Really
don't think he gets
interesting,
the
though.
credit that he need that he should have regarding what he's achieved in the markets historically.
Yeah, very, very interesting chap. I was talking to him at drinks. So after we'd had the final speech, I got the chance to have a beer with him. Really, really fascinating chap. And again, he comes from Windflood Securities. Really, really interesting business, but it's an institution. It's a pillar of the city. This business goes back 30, 40 odd years. And as retail investors, we just don't get exposure to these sorts of people. We don't know what they're doing. And it's just fascinating to get the opportunity to talk to somebody like Joe and ask him questions about, well, what are you seeing in the markets? Why do you think markets are doing what they're doing? If you could, not give a piece of advice to an investor, but how do you respond? Because you usually get a totally different take to talking to someone like you or
Absolutely. Absolutely. So across from them, we had a fantastic panel, financial education panel. What will it take to make the make Britain financially literate? Moderated by the fantastic Danny Wallace with Patrick Tuer, who writes for the Mail on Sunday and the Daily Mail. Tom Biltcliffe, Robert Martin, who's the CEO of Memphis, who I co-opted there, and Andy Lang. And the lady whose name escapes me now, Jill from the CISI, she replaced Kevin Moore because we wanted to make sure that the panel wasn't all males. We need to do something about that. So if you know any ladies in that and business experts, financial experts that are very happy to speak and available for next September, please get them to get in touch with me because we need to have a far greater balance of female experts on the actual presentations and panel sessions that we do next year. And we also had Annabel Brodie Smith doing a second panel, access to private equity via investment trusts. And she had Reg Hoare of MHP, Charlotte Morris, and James Lowe. Fantastic panel again there. And then the pièce de résistance, mate, we close with the absolutely amazing individual, Charles Hall of Peel Hunt, who everyone goes
Oh,
to for
what a
quotes
guy.
regarding the markets, how to make the UK equity markets great again. It's absolutely smashed it out of the park, had the whole auditorium back in place and them eating out of his hand regarding what he saw the markets and solutions that needed to be done. And the delivery of it, Emery, I was sat there, you just have this thing about leaning in. You're going, what did he just say there? Well, why can't we do it then? He's basically saying he's knocking on the door of number 10 and number 11, going and trying to shake people, this government and the previous government, to just take control and lead the markets and lead things. But he absolutely nailed it, I thought.
Well, again, he's one of those names. So Charles Hall, for those of you that are on LinkedIn, he's a prolific LinkedIn user. Posts a lot of original content. It's not ChatGPT nonsense. It's his own thoughts, usually fairly early on in the day, and usually outlining what it is he's going to be talking about to significant government individuals. Trying to revitalize how the city is performing, the UK equity markets are performing, but not just flag waving and going, oh, rah, rah, we all ought to buy British. Actually, talking about the benefits it brings to the economy, the benefits it brings to wider society, and the cost of neglecting this quite crucial part of the economy. I think there was a figure he put out that the City of London or the stock market generates something like 10 billion a year in revenues for the Exchequer through employment, taxes, not just the stamp duty, but the companies that employ people that are listed. The taxes that those employees then go on to pay, the taxes that the companies pay to employ the individuals, the taxes that the companies pay in corporation tax, it generates billions every year. And actually, if these businesses aren't healthy and are struggling, the exchequer is getting less money, and it's quite a significant sum. And this is the sort of detail that I think an awful lot of the media is forgetting to write about. And so getting the opportunity to listen to Charles for 45 minutes, you know, and hear it from the horse's mouth, as it were, again, very, very insightful.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Absolutely, it was amazing, and I got to speak with him afterwards as well. And he came across very humble guy, despite what he's doing and how he's done it over the umpteen years, and leading Peel Hunt in that way, and leading other economists in that sort of way as well. So our sponsors and partners were Blue Whale Growth Fund, Lord Adventure Investment Trust, Polar Capital, Association Investment Companies, Poolbeg Farmer, European Green Transition, ShareScope, who sponsored our live presentation, Energize Africa, CQS Natural Resources, Retail Book, ShareSite, Investors Chronicle, AJ Bell, Hardman and Co., Master Investor, who came in and supported us as well, Ticker, which Sam Bell runs as well, and ShareSoc, who helped us out a little bit there as well, and organized and moderated, sorry, looked after some of the rooms for us as well, and coordinated lots and lots of other things as well to help the day go smoothly. I want to give you a big shout out as well, Henry, because what I noticed as well was that a lot of people who were attending on the day were coming because of you, that knew of you via the pod, but knew of you from the city, and were like, oh, and I said, oh, who have you come to see? Oh, I've come to see this and this, but I really wanted to meet that Henry Viola Hare. I'm going, hello, I'm over here. My name's Peter Higgins, by the way. There were loads of people going, I've come to find out who this Henry Viola Hare person is. I'm like, bloody hell, am I chopped liver or
Was
what?
really
It was
nice.
mad.
It was spectacular. I mean, it I know a lot of them have watched me on the pod, and it really touching because I love doing the pod. I love writing. I love being a part of this community. And to get people traveling to come to meet me, it just feels unreal. I mean, we had the reluctant investor who I've talked to
Yes,
for
I've got to give
years.
him a shout out, because I mean, the mad thing about the reluctant investor is that he wanted to remain anonymous. But Henry and I have been doing that and pulling him out of anonymity for the past two or three years. So I was in these DMs going, are you gonna come? Are you gonna come? I bought my ticket, Peter. I'm coming down. I'm gonna introduce myself to a few people, et cetera, et cetera. And we both met him in person. What a lovely, lovely, lovely individual.
Yeah,
So grounded, so
absolute
down to earth,
legend.
retired, can do whatever he wants, and he chose to come and spend the day with us, and way into the evening as well. We can tell, but I don't know if we're allowed to share the other story about what actually happened late in the evening. But fantastic, fantastic individual, including coming out for us for a meal late on the night.
It's, I mean, honestly, just a huge thank you to everybody that came. And for those of you that I was meeting for the first time, thank you so much for coming up and saying hello. It made my day to meet so many fellow investors, of all different ages, all different nationalities. And I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did, because I know certainly Peter put a terrific amount of work in. I basically just got to turn up and have a lovely day. So thank you to Peter, thank you to the team that put it on, but thank you to everybody that came and said hello, because you were all part of that lovely day for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm going to just share a bit of food feedback here. You've already mentioned Footsie Betts Neville that travelled from Dublin, Jane Croucher that travelled from Germany to come and see us on the pod live. Fantastic to meet them both. I'm following both of them now on their various Twitter accounts, X accounts, should I say. And the feedback here from the Reluctant Investor: this was a great opportunity to be both educated and entertained. Sorry to have missed many of you at the after drinks, and apologies to Annabelle for the long-winded I investment trust discounts question too. We'll hope to make amends on both scores at the next one. Funny face. Then I've had a fantastic, I won't read it all, from Ryan Arnell, who turned up to the Investor Summit individually on his own for the first time, wide-eyed about it all. He absolutely loved it. And he wrote, "I'm writing to express my sincere gratitude following the recent Investor Summit, which I had the pleasure of attending. It was a truly outstanding event, and I would like to recommend everyone involved for orchestrating such a seamless and professional experience." I won't read it all, but the comment there was brilliant, and the email he sent me was brilliant. Go left massive. I forgot about Ben. Ben, how can you forget about
Oh,
Ben?
what
Ben
a
was there as
legend.
well. Ben rocked up, had a fantastic time, an absolutely fantastic inaugural Investor Summit on Wednesday. It was a pleasure to attend and support. A big well done to Conquest 3 and Sam for their efforts. A general upbeat tone to the day made you look behind some of the media narrative. Too many to mention, but a big shout out to HT Viola and as an excellent co-host in the Twin Peaks podcast. John Stepek provided a thought-provoking talk and slightly spooked a few of us with the mention of a second passport. Do you remember that
I
conversation?
do, yeah.
Keynotes at either end of the day also stood out too. Honestly, when announced for 2026, get date in diary and ticket booked. Brilliant feedback there. We had Matthew Gregory, of course. He had lots of stuff to share with us, including me, as you said, grabbing him out of the blue. You've got to go and watch this, folks, on the pod, if you've not watched it already. But he actually came back and said, "My proudest moment at the Investor Summit, Conquest 3, getting me to do a quick talk on some of the overlooked drivers of Games Workshop longer term. If I ever get to do this again, I hope to look less terror-fueled." Ha, ha, ha. "Thanks for having me up on the stage, Conquest. A privilege to be up there. A little bit more warning is all I ask for next time." Laughing face. And then we've got a Flying Finance as well. A big belated shout out to Sam and Conkers for organizing a cracking investor summit this week. Some fantastic speakers, great food, wonderful company. Highly recommend you add this to your calendar for next year. Got to mention Roger and Matthew Gray. You and I had some conversations with Matthew Gray, and I had one conversation with him, and it was at the point where I was going, "This isn't going to happen, is it? This isn't going to work, is it?" And I had my doubts because it was so hard to put this thing into place and get it to work and get the people in place and get the number of people to buy tickets. And I had a conversation with Matt, and he said, and each time I had a conversation with him, he said something different but the same. It'd be like, "If you put everything in place, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. People will come, Pete. It'll be fine." And it all happened in the last 3 weeks. And literally, in the last 3 weeks, that's precisely what happened. So his feedback, you can find Matthew Gray, brilliant individual, at BeerMatt31. "Very strong day in the brewery yesterday. Thoroughly enjoyed the agenda. The catering, in brackets, just one of the differentiators of this event. And most importantly, all the chats. Thanks to my friends and everyone who made it. HC Viola, Conkers, Share Scope, Share Sock." Roger Green, brilliant. Another fake feedback here. "What a fantastic time yesterday at the Investor Summit. Many congratulations to Sam and Conquest 3 and their team for putting together a really high quality event with the amazing speaker lineup. It was great to connect with so many fellow investors and put faces to names." And then did you get to meet Josh Yu, Nemo the Sharks, face to face?
I think I did, but I don't think we spoke for very long.
Ah, okay. She's a fantastic individual, supported me on various different events and been to live shows before as well.
Annoyingly, we keep bumping into each other at events, and I'm usually like on my way somewhere and go, "Oh, I'll come back," and then we never
And
get the
then it's
chance.
the day's flying by. Absolutely fantastic day. Brilliant speakers. The work you guys put into it definitely shows. Glad I went. Food was delicious too. Lots of comments about the brilliant food we had. So that's the feedback, Henry. Everyone's pleased with it. We smashed it across the park, and then we put out the pod, which we got great feedback for as well. But we're not just here to talk about Investment Summit. Other people are going, "We're half an hour in and we've not talked about a stock yet." Yeah. We ended up with four stocks, Henry. Do you remember which four stocks we ended up with on the pod?
Don't ask me that. I've just had half a glass of wine. I
We ended up
do.
with Games Workshop, Goodwin,
Yeah.
AJ Bell. It's the fourth one. It's my one, my fourth one. Ooh.
Was
It's
it
escaped me
Tatton
now.
Asset
You have to go.
Management by any chance?
Say again.
Tatton Asset Management.
Tatton Asset Management. Those are the four we ended up with from our look at the UK markets as to what was outperforming and what could continue to possibly outperform. Four stellar stocks to go and research for people. So if you've not seen 160 yet, please do so now. Right, Henry, you're on holiday. Got some stocks to talk about. My suggestion this week, because you're on holiday, was to go away and think about some dividend paying stocks of good quality, consistent payers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've got a couple of stocks. You've got a couple of stocks. What's your first stock, mate?
Well, as we're on a holiday, I'm actually going to start with a bit of a surprise pick here before we get into the theme of the episode. So I was wandering around yesterday, having a very nice day in the sun, and I was looking about, and the other side of the road, there's a building. It's a bank. It's a building with Alpha Bank on the side of it. And very nice building, glass frontage, marble pillars, looks. To be honest, in London, if you saw it, you'd think this must be some fancy private bank. And he's just here on the side of the road in Santorini. And so just out of curiosity, because of the way my mind works, I thought I'll just give this one a quick Google and see if it's listed. And it turns out it is. Alpha Bank was actually founded in 1879, and it's a leading Greek financial institution. Sheer luck that I
Wowza.
happened to wander past it, by the way. They provide the usual, retail and business banking services, asset management, investment banking, and insurance. Now, they've got a very, very strong presence in Greece. I doubt anybody in the UK has heard of them. Certainly, I'd never heard of them before today. But when I started looking into them, they actually look like they might fit the theme of today's episode quite well. They've got a commitment to digital innovation and sustainability. They've got a very, very strong balance sheet, high capital adequacy. And they've sort of been cleaning up the balance sheet. So when I say Greek bank to you, most people go, "Oh Lord, it's the Greeks, it's banking, let's stay clear," because they all think about 2008 and the subsequent, Greek financial
Greek
crisis.
default. Yeah, the Greek defaults. Yeah, exactly.
But actually, Alpha Bank has just resumed dividend payments after a 16-year hiatus, after approval from the
16 years.
European Central Bank. And they're paying out about 43% of their 2024 profits, plus a sizable share buyback. They've had improved financial performance the last couple of years, with declining non-performing loans, pointing to strengthening stability. And their payout ratio is well under 50%, which indicates a solid buffer to sustain that dividend going forward. And this is one that, honestly, I've not done a terrific amount of research on, but just a quick bit of Googling threw those few things up. I've never invested in a Greek company before, but actually, Alpha Bank was one that I thought, if you were looking for some international diversification, it sounds like you could do worse than buying a little bit of Alpha.
Absolutely stellar find, mate. When you mentioned it, I thought he wasn't walking past, he was stumbling past because he drank too much wine, talking about Greek banks, especially given the default history that they've got and all the rest of it. But Henry, you've actually unearthed a little gem here. I'm not sure how somebody in the UK will go about buying shares in this if they needed to, but I'm sure there's a platform you could find that would enable you to do that. The shares, Henry, year to date are up 114%. And we're talking year to date, right? Over the course of 1 year, they've done most of their growing this year. 119% over the calendar 12 months. Over 3 years, it's done 290% over 3 years.
Oh,
We talked about Lloyds recently. We talked about NatWest recently. We talked about Barclays recently. We talked about various different banks. I'm not sure any of them have performed to that extent over the last 3 years.
I should get drunk and go stumbling down the road more often, I think.
So yeah, I'm not, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen the next 3 years. There could be all kinds of shenanigans going on over there again. But given what I think, once you get tarred with financial irregularities and defaults and that, that whole country forevermore will be like, oh, don't want to be going there. That could happen. This could happen. But given the flux that we're in the UK right now, there are people opting to buy Greek bonds rather than UK bonds right now. Yeah? What does that tell you about what's happening across the world and what's happening in the UK
Well,
right
I
now?
was going to say, I mean, I've left you alone for
Scary, man.
4 days and you seem to have trolleyed the UK economy, Peter. So
Nothing to
just
do with
getting
me, mate.
under
I've been
control with
resting.
you.
I've been resting, mate. But honestly, we've had the government recess. We've had the holidays. The city has been on holidays. Most people, well, some people have come back this week. Some people aren't coming back until next week. So, and then they're assessing what's going on in the market. And very similarly, America's had labor, was it Labor Day, whatever they call it, last week? Yeah. So they were at a day of the markets being shut. And now they're back, and everyone's going, oh, we don't like the look of this. So, yeah, I think historically, if I remember rightly as well, you have to look on the almanacs for this. September ordinarily is one of the worst calendar months of the financial year as well. So, all of those things come to pass. September's always quite a difficult month for the markets. If we have break even, but from the beginning to the end of this month, it will be a bonus. Yeah. But it's going to be a difficult one. But yeah, that's a very good call, that one, Henry. I do like that one, mate. Out of the blue. And I remember when you first started on the pod properly, you were always going a bit random and going, where the hell have you gone and walked to now? Random walks, our international correspondent. And there you are now. You literally are an international correspondent because you literally sat in Santorini in your Hawaii. I could have chosen a Greek shirt rather than an Hawaiian shirt, but we won't get into that. We won't get into that. It's
Well,
clear
all I'll
that
say is if
Verity
Sharescope
did not
want to
help you
fund
dress,
me,
mate. That's all.
if Sharescope want to fund me to travel the world and find interesting investing ideas, I will quite happily take that
I'm
job.
sure you will. I'm sure you will. Right. So I'm going to keep on the international vein there, Henry, then. And I'm going to talk about
Well,
a
may I
stock.
pause you a second?
Yeah, go.
May I pause you a second? Just before we dive into your first share, shall we explain what the theme of the episode is, even though we're
I did
halfway
say
through?
di dividends,
Dividends.
reliable dividends that have been paid by companies over the long term.
So
We're looking for options.
what does that
Go on.
actually look like? I mean, what does a reliable dividend mean? Because not all dividends are created equal, are they? I mean, you've got
Go
some
on. You go
companies
into
that
that
pay
if you want
out.
to.
You've got some companies that will pay out and the dividends will roll in and you never really question them. They seem to increase a little bit year after year, years on end, and you can just rely on them. And then others are more like a mirage. You get the gold mine that strikes gold, and all of a sudden there's like a 15% dividend paid out, a special dividend. And then the next year it dries up because they've dug out all the gold and they've sold it, and now they've got no income again. And so, what we're talking about on this episode really is the safe style of dividends. It's the ones that you should be able to rely on over a long period of time. And what I did, just before we came on air, I pulled out three things that I think make a company with a safe dividend. You've got the payout ratio. So I referred to that with Alpha Bank just now, and that's the percentage of profits that the company is paying out. So a company that pays out, say, 50% of its earnings as a dividend has room to increase that, even if earnings decline slightly the year after. However, if it's paying out 150% of its earnings, well, it's going to have to be making that extra 50% from either debt it's borrowed, cash on the balance sheet, or issuing more equity. So that dividend's not really sustainable. You've then got balance sheet strength. So debt is, in my opinion, the silent killer of dividends. And I bang on about this to the point where Peter's
A
almost in
lot,
tears.
yes.
But
Rightfully so. Rightfully so, may I add. Rightfully so, Henry, may I add. Go on.
having a strong cash reserve, lots of cash in the bank, low leverage, and healthy free cash flow mean management can keep paying you your dividends even in lean years. But if they've levered themselves up to the hilt, the first wobble that they get, actually, what are they going to cut? Your dividend. And usually, when you find that a company cuts the dividend, the share price follows it. So you don't really want that. And finally, you want companies that have got a good track record of paying out dividends. So consistency matters here, right? We're looking for firms that have increased or at least maintained their dividends through recessions, over long periods of time, throughout the economic cycle. And so these are the sorts of companies we're trying to identify in today's episode that have got these characteristics.
Absolutely. And as you said, whilst Alpha didn't really meet all of those criteria, the fact that they actually started and recommenced their dividend is a really good sign of a catalyst going forward. That hiatus for 16 years, and then on top of the performance they've already had, we talked about 114% year to date, 119% over 12 months, 290% over the past 3 years. And then on top of that, you're going to get a dividend going forward. That could be the start of something really sweet there, so yeah, we'll definitely be looking at that. I think the people in Santorini will be celebrating with the dividend payoffs. Right, so I've got an unusual one here, Henry, in the sense of all the talk at the moment is about gold and gold breaking new records and inflation edge and this, that and the other and all the rest of it, and you should buy gold, you should buy gold. Now, lots of people have, lots of governments have been buying gold instead of storing their wealth or hiding their wealth in dollars. And as a consequence, gold prices carried on climbing, and everyone's talking about it peaking, but it hasn't peaked yet. And the likelihood of the destabilizing nature of the markets over the next month, 2 months, and to year end could mean that gold goes even higher, right? So I've gone to the contrary here, Henry. Counter movement, as I normally do as a contrarian. I'm going to talk about a gold miner, and everyone's going to go mining stocks. Oh dear, here we go. Going to be
Yeah.
bound to be a yeah. You're well. I'm not trying to convince you here, Henry, but I'm going to share some. I'm going to give you. This is going to. I'm going to be one. Rarely do I do this. I'm going to talk extensively about this stock. I do not own it. Never owned it. Wish I had. But you can. And you can pull up the metrics in a few minutes. I'm going to talk about the world's largest gold producer, Henry. Who am
So
I
they've
talking
actually
about?
found some gold, right?
They're digging it up the ground like no one's business, mate.
Right. That
Yeah?
changed my opinion slightly.
Like no one's business. Henry, this is an $83 billion market cap company. I said billion, not million. It's not an AIM stock. 83 billion, mate.
Okay.
Who we're talking about? We're talking about Newmont, ticker symbol NEM, right? Achieved record-breaking, and this is the important bit, all-in situ cost, AISC. Whenever you see that, that's what you want to do. You want to have a look at the company, if it's a gold mining company or a mining company, and compare its all-in sustaining cost versus what the assets and commodities are that they're selling.
So
Record
let's
breaking
just
all in.
explain that one a moment. Because the AISC, this is the cost for the company of extracting the metals, right?
Every single, you talk about CapEx, all embracing costs, energy, logistics, you name it, staffing, every
Yeah.
single thing in, how much does it cost you to get the gold out of the
So
ground? Their
it's
margin,
usually
and
quoted as a figure per ounce, right? So if
yes.
gold's selling at £1,000 an ounce and
Yes.
your AISC is 880, you're making
Absolutely.
£120 per ounce.
Absolutely. Right. They've now, Henry, got the record for the highest margin above $1,727 per ounce. They are making after all costs.
That's
And
impressive.
right now, gold's at 3,900 and odd per ounce. They're making a margin of 1,727. When I saw that, I thought, I'm going to have to talk about this stock. I hope it pays a dividend. And we'll get onto that in a bit later on. Right? And that was the last quarter, up 120% versus the quarter of 2024 when they were still spending on this, that, and the other. Right, I'm going to read these notes I've got. Over the last four quarters, Newmont's core business has become a huge cash cow. H2 2025, which is the results I'm talking about now, they produced, and he said, did they actually did produce any gold? Produced 1,478 million ounces of gold, Henry. 1,478 million ounces of gold, Henry. I said it twice. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you've got your mouth open now. I've got your attention, right? So, on top of that, and I want to concentrate on the gold bit here, also produce 36,000 tons of copper, 8 million ounces of silver. Silver price is going through the roof now, $40 an ounce or whatever it is. They're pushing on, and 67 tons of gold. Right, so. Have they been a benefactor of the gold bull run? You would think so, Henry. Yeah. They're realizing prices on the gold. Gold's at 3,900 right now. In the last quarter, and I'm sure it's edging up as we speak now, the average price they sold their gold at, yeah, was $3,320 per ounce. That's what they were getting, and it's probably got edged up since the quarter was finished. And that was an increase in the previous quarter. Right. So how did they manage this, Henry? In the Q2, the all-in sustaining costs for them in Q2 was $1,593 an ounce. They kept all their costs down. Yeah. Other companies were seeing rising costs, energy costs, staff costs. Theirs were going down. Yeah. So they had record-breaking margins, and in Q2 realized the profitability that I said to you, 120% year-on-year increase. And you then say, okay, there's got to be a situation here where they're not doing so well. Anyway, they've got cash. Net cash from operating activities increased 17% quarter on quarter, reaching 2.4 billion sitting in cash. Yes, it's a market cap of 83 billion. They've got 2.4 billion in cash in the current quarter. Yeah, you see, you got your mouth open again. Okay, I'm liking this. Cash flow, Henry. Newmont's cash flow, FCF, increased 42%. We're always talking about how are they doing? For yeah, you've got your mouth open again. People are, everyone that's not listening to this on Spotify or elsewhere. Get yourself over onto YouTube. We've got a guy in a Hawaiian shirt and his mouth open. He's not even eating or drinking. Right. They've got a record cash flow now, reaching a new record of 1.7 billion, Henry. Yeah. Earnings, Henry. Newmont's adjusted net income for the quarter was 1.6 billion or $1.43 per diluted share, an increase from 125 diluted per share. Yeah. Adjusted earnings per share rose an impressive 760 million on the quarter. Got all these mining stocks going. We can't make any money. It's all this cost and that cost. And, you know, we can't ship it. Can't do making money like don't know what. Right. So, what we got, Henry? Why have I talked about it? Right. We're sitting at 83 billion. Forward PE of this largest gold miner, Henry. Believe this or not. Guess what it is? Forecast PE. 14.2.
That's quite steep for a mining stock.
Well,
But
you might think that, mate. The average over the last 3 years was 24.6.
how much?
So it's coming down as it's getting better and the situation's improving. It's coming down. It was 20. It was more expensive 3 years ago on average. Right?
That's
Peg, always a good sign of a value of a company. 0.4 peg. Not even a one peg, right? Pre-tax over the last 3 years, average 60.5%. Pre-tax this year, recent one, 66.7%. Earnings per share, 53.2%. 3 year average. I've got to get this right on 5.5 average EPS down up to 53.3. Is that an anomaly or is that a fault? I'm not sure whether that's right or wrong, but that's what it's saying on ShareScope. Now, the bit we're talking about dividends, folks, given all the noise we've had about gold, up and down, being on, you know, uncertain. The price has gone up, the price has come down. We can't rely on gold, this, that, and the other. 39 years of paying a dividend, Henry, compounding that. Yeah. And we need to go back here and possibly reference what we're talking about here regarding why these dividends are important, Henry. We have got, let me, can I find it on here? Let's do it the other way. Let's do it the other way. We have got the law of compounding, which is the rule of 72, right? And we're dividing the 72 by the dividend. We'll do a simple maths here, right? Dividend yield of 6%. Every 12 years, you will double your money. You've got £10,000 invested in a company. Give or take a couple of percentages or a couple of pounds. That £10,000 at 6% compounding rate over 12 years, you'll have £20,000. Now, if that company there is going up 4 or 5 or 10%, you're then compounding at 10% per year. Yeah. 10 into 72, 7.2 years, you'd have doubled your £10,000 into £20,000. Keep it as simple as that. Yeah. And what we've got here, Emily, just a little something for you, mate, just in case you were wondering if it's any good at the moment, right? You have got, where has it gone? Here we go. You've got Newmount Corp over the last 3 months up 37%, 6 months 79.8%, 1 year 45%, last 3 years up 82.8%, last 10 years up 371% for a gold miner, sleepy gold miner that nobody
Last
wanted.
10 years,
Nobody wanted this year, last year, the year
371%.
before
That's
last.
37% annualized. No.
Just shy of that. You're compounding that, it'd be less, it'd be nearer to 33.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
But
that's not
still,
bad for a gold.
that's unbelievable.
There you go, mate. We talked about dividends. This is a dividend compounder. It's also in the retrospective sort of sweet spot at the moment, which is gold.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe today using the Twin Peaks promo code and you can save up to £69. Visit shareScope.co.uk for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Voila.
That's
Thoughts? Is your mouth closed now? Can you speak properly?
That's a cracking find.
Thank you,
That
sir.
is a cracking find. I forget who it was I was talking to, and we were talking about investing in miners. And they asked me my opinion on gold, and I'm very bullish on gold. I think gold is a good long-term hold. And the simple reason is that gold, or really any commodity, is denominated in fiat currency, pounds, dollars, euros, whatever. And governments keep printing more paper money. And as long
Yeah.
as governments keep printing more paper money, then the price of gold, silver, copper, uranium, any commodity will continue to increase over time. So I'm fairly bullish. When I say I'm bullish on gold, I'm actually fairly bullish on commodities generally. But the conversation I was having was how difficult it is to actually make a profit in gold miners. It's surprisingly hard. Because,
It
like
is
you
hard.
say, you own a gold miner, and every quarter it's, oh, yeah, well, the conveyor belt broke down and we couldn't get the gold out of the mine. Or the backup generator broke and we couldn't power the filter. Or the smelter burnt a hole in the bottom of it and we couldn't get a replacement.
Or Henry, geopolitically, they've moved the goalposts as to what you can actually do in the country, or what you need to give the country as a reasoning for mining in that country. the tax you have to pay has gone up from 7%, 10%, or 15% now to 25, to 35, and all of a sudden it's making it not sustainable for you to actually be mining gold in that. Keeps changing all the while. New regime of government, or we want that much more off you now. So it's always problematic. So yeah, Newmont appear to be navigating the vast majority of that and have done what they've done. Last 10 years, returned 347, if I remember the number rightly. But this year alone has done absolutely spectacularly well. And to make that much per ounce on what they're actually all in is staggering. Absolutely staggering. So yeah, that's my pick of the day, people. Go away, research that. Go and see your thoughts on it. See if it's got any continuity on it as to whether it go forward. Would you consider that gold mining stock, Henry, since you hate gold mining stocks?
I own a couple of gold miners, so although I'm always using the example of gold miners with no gold in the mine, actually,
That's
Newmont,
got
you
plenty of
piqued
gold in
my
it, mate.
interest there, Peter. The only question
Good,
I
good.
didn't, or you might have said this and I've missed it, what was the dividend yield?
The dividend yield at the moment is a measly 1.37, forecast yield of 1.3%. Yeah, so
But
it's
that's
not,
got a track record of growing over time.
and absolutely. But the beauty of this, and this is what I have to say this over and over again on the pod, and I feel like I'm just repeating myself. You shouldn't always pick a stock regarding its dividend yield as to the highest dividend yield. You should pick it for its sustainability and actually how the company is growing. Yeah. If they're coming and performing and the free cash flow is growing and generating, it means that A, they can sustain the dividend yield, but also dividend payout, sorry, but also it means that their share price will possibly increase far greater in speed than a yield that's paying 5, 10, sorry, between 5 and 10%. You think, oh, I've got a chunk of dividend yield. It's only as good as the company. The dividend yield can pay you 5%. But what if the company actually fails to generate any growth and then backs up and loses you 5%? You've not made any money at all. Worst even, you get a situation where me and Henry have, it comes out on the half year or the full year or the trading update and goes wallop, punch, across the chin, and the share price is down 20%. What good is that 5% dividend yield to you? It just offsets the 15, you end up with 15% drop on your holding rather than 20% because you're getting a dividend yield. You want the dividend yield. We're talking about sustainable dividends here, and a company that probably can navigate the markets and give you a capital gain. If you get the 3% or the 5% or the 1.3% here, but over the course of the year to date, it's up 100% or 50% or 45%, you've ended up with 46% return for the year. Far better than the yield that's of 6, 7, 8, 10%, and it's fallen 15%. So that's why, oh, don't always choose it on the highest yield, folks.
You're spot on. Spot on. Well, talking about companies that may be slightly unloved, there's lots in the press at the moment I've been seeing about Sanjeev Gupta, the steel magnate who apparently is terrible at running companies and is going bankrupt, and there's all sorts of shenanigans with British Steel. And anyway, from what I read at the moment, investing in the steel industry seems to be a guaranteed money loser. And yet I found a company which I think might be bucking the trend a little bit. The company is Billington Holdings. The ticker is BILN, which through its subsidiaries operates as a structural steel and construction safety solutions specialist. It's a UK group of companies focused on various structural steel and engineering companies throughout the UK and Europe. They operate in two segments: structural steel work and safety solutions. And geographically, it derives most of its revenue from the UK. Now, the yield ranges between 5 to 7%, so it's a fairly chunky payout. But it's only got a payout ratio of about 50%. So the dividend is fairly well covered, indicating a fairly balanced and sustainable approach. And the balance sheet, unlike a lot of Sanjeev Gupta's companies that have levered up on debt, actually is indicating fairly robust financial strength. It's got a current ratio of over 2x, a quick ratio of nearly 2x, And its debt to equity ratio, which is a key indicator of financial health, is really very, very low. It's about 3%. And usually you look at indebted companies and the debt to equity ratio can be 70, 80, 90, over 100%, meaning they've borrowed far more than their market cap. Usually not a great sign. Now, the business offers a well-supported dividend, but it's also maintained a steady dividend history with consistent payouts since 2010 and dividend increases in many years since then. So it's got a moderately high yield, 5 to 7%, a solid payout ratio, strong liquidity, and consistent payouts, which to my mind tick a lot of the boxes for a fairly defensible income stock in a sector that actually a lot of people are going, oh, I don't like the look of that.
Interesting one, this Henry. My only caveat, given that I've just bought you with an $80 billion market cap, is the minutiae in market cap of this particular one. I've got it here as a stock that's sub 50 million, mate. You've gone for an absolute tiddler. Have I got the
It
market cap
is a
right
very
here?
small business. It's
It's
a
a
very
small,
small
which
business.
should give it opportunity to grow. Did you mention how much cash it's got? Because it's throwing off this divvy. As to what it's done.
That I'm not sure off the top of my head. Let
Right.
me see
Okay.
if I can get Stockopedia.
The other thing I've got is that year to date it's underperforming. So we just talked about the yield and making sure that it can actually give you the capital gain. You don't lose on the actual performance of the stock. It's down 28% year to date. And over the past year, it's down 31%. So you've held it for 12 months. You've got 6% mid-range between the 5 and the 7. You've got 6%. You'd be down 25%-ish over the past 12 months on this. Is this a stock that's had some recent good news that you're thinking here's a catalyst now for it to go a bit better over the next 12 months? What are your thoughts about it? Because it seems a reasonable stock and it's got some good metrics there, Henry. But I'm a bit concerned it's of its size.
I think it's being unfairly pulled down by a number of factors. Number one, the outlook on the Sanjeev Gupta situation. I think investors are discounting it based on a read through from his situation with British Steel. I think secondly, it's facing headwinds from energy costs. So if you read the press at the moment, the UK has got one of the highest energy costs in the whole of Europe.
In the whole of Europe,
Now, to
mate,
my
or the
mind,
world.
yes, okay, that is a fact. But that also means the only way we can go is up the league tables. We can't get any worse than we already are. So if the government gets its energy strategy sorted out, that situation could reverse. And in theory, you don't actually need the government to do anything. Companies can invest and develop their own energy strategy independent of the UK government. And I don't believe a company like Billington, which is a small family-run enterprise, I don't think they're going to sit around and let Rachel Reeves trolley their company that's been around for decades. I think they're going to act. I think they're going to respond to the economic situation as they see it, and they will try to overcome the headwinds that they're facing. And so I think actually it's a bit of an unloved gem, to be honest. And I think it needs some backing from the UK to thrive. But I think a business like this is far nimbler and able to respond to economic circumstances than something like Tata, massive Indian conglomerate that own the majority of the steel mills in the UK, and who are more likely to just write off the UK steel mill because, frankly, why should they care?
Very good points. Very, very well made, mate. I'm hoping. I mean, it's a UK tiddler as well, so I'm always going to be championing their success. So let's hope. Ticker symbol BILN on the UK markets, folks. Go and have a little research. Let us know what you think. Give Henry a reply to his tweet on X or on Blue Sky as to what your thoughts are on Billington and all the other stocks that we've mentioned so far. I'm going to take a little break here, Henry. I'm going to quickly bring people up to speed with the Memphis charity fundraise, which we're trying to raise monies for young people to get on the employment ladder and get them skilled up for employability. We're sitting at 2,847. We've not moved for around 3 weeks now since the last donation was made. So if you can, and you're having a reasonably feeling of goodwill, please donate £1, £2, £5 if you can, so we can get to that 3,000 number, which we're edging towards. We've still got a target of 5,000, which we're going to try and push on for the latter part of the year. We've got 3 months to do over 2.5K to get to that number to get us to 5K. Last donation we had about 3 weeks ago was from Andy, who we mentioned earlier on at Flying Finance. And Andy donated £50 and £12 gift aid, and his comments were a long overdue and highly deserved, long overdue and highly deserved gesture of my appreciation for all that you and Henry do. Wishing you and all your listeners good fortune. Thank you very much, Andy. Then we had Fred. I'm sure that's Fred Warner, who lives in, let's say, Nottingham, from your neck of the woods, Henry, who written a fantastic book regarding planning, which helps with all things you're doing strategically. I've not got the book in front of me. I've got the full title. I have to dig it out in a minute off my phone. But he's written a fantastic book, which I've actually used and helped me with regards to the Investor Summit. But Fred just said, many thanks for the podcast, and donated £20 plus £5 gift aid. Then we had Peter Dodge. Thank you for your dedication to producing consistent investing information with good sense and humor. So thank you, Peter. £30 and £7.50 gift aid. And then almost 4 weeks ago today, we had an anonymous person donate. I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but if the pods were subscription, they would probably pay for themselves many times over for most people. You only ask for small amounts, small donations, and hope this target is met real soon. Best of luck for next week. Must have been just before the pod at the live show at the Master Investor Show, at the Investor Summit, sorry. And that person donated £500 and £125 gift aid at that time a month ago. I think I have mentioned it. So if you can make a donation, listeners from wherever you are in the world, please go to www.justgiving.com forward slash page Peter Higgins, and that will take you to the Memphis Just Giving page that Henry and I are raising monies for this year. Please, please, please make a donation if you can. There you go, Henry. Are you ready to? Oh, it's me, isn't it? I'm going to share one more. We'll share one more, and then we'll see how we get on. Right, this is another one, Henry. We have discussed this stock before, but I think it's worthy of speaking about again. Let me just get my metrics up here on my phone, because it's a good quality stock, and I'm hoping that some of our investors have actually already own it, and those that don't will go away and actually do some research on it. I'm going to talk about Admiral, ticker symbol ADM, Henry. Listed FTSE company, a behemoth in the insurance game. And essentially, as I say to Henry most of the time regarding financials, I end up buying the insurance companies rather than the banks. Although there's always room for a Greek one, an alpha one, given what you've just told me about it. So, who is Admiral Group? A major financial services company specializing primarily in insurance and personal lending products, operating across multiple countries with strong financial performance and leadership across and in the technology and customer service space. So, lots of tech involved there. Headquartered in a brilliant and fantastic part of the world, which is Cardiff in Wales, Henry. Yeah. FTSE 100 listed company, employing over 10,000 people, insurance, motor, household, travel, pet insurance, lending products on unsecured loans on personal loans, cars, trades in five countries, UK, France, Italy, Spain, the United States, and he's got a lot of brands. Admiral, Bell, have you heard of Elephant, Henry?
I
Elephant
have, yep.
Insurance? Diamond and Veygo, VEYGO. Never heard of that one.
I've
Yeah.
seen that before, but I don't know where I've seen it. I've got a feeling
Yeah,
that's a
so.
travel brand. I think that's like an airport type thing. Although
Right,
maybe I've just
okay.
got holidays on the brain at the minute.
Okay. Now, here's something interesting, Henry. Right. IPO'd September 21 years ago, 2004. The company was valued at the time at 771 million. Guess what the market cap is now, 21 years
Oh,
on?
multiples of that,
So if you
multiples.
bought the IPO 21 years ago, folks, in September of same month as this one, the market cap is now 10.5 billion. That's a compounder for you, Henry. That is
Juicy.
a compounder for you, right? Why am I talking about this company here, Henry? We're looking at the financials, recent financials on this one, and they're absolutely knocking it out of the park. It's one of those companies which it ebbs, it flows, but it's the management tend to have all their ducks in order in a sense of how they behave and how they look after themselves and also their shareholders. So it's definitely one to keep an eye on. So you've got what we've got here, Henry. Revenues up, income up, net income up, business segments, all four of them operating really, really well. Leadership, got a person's name here who I can't pronounce. I'm not even gonna try. I'll do the last bit of
Oh, give
his
it a go. Give
surname.
it a go.
D. Fokatilis is the group CEO. I butchered that. I know I have.
You
But
could get
yeah,
that
he's
very badly
absolutely,
wrong.
yeah, it's badly wrong. Badly wrong. So yeah. So group profits up, earnings up, return on and equities up, group turnover up, insurance revenue up. There's not much. I'm gonna keep this short and sweet. Everyone knows about Admiral. Everyone knows how well it's done. We're sitting here, Henry. What have we done? What have I said earlier about metrics? Let me just give you some metrics here about them. You're sitting here, Henry, with a 10.5 billion market cap, 14.9 forward PE. The only concern here is price to NAV, which is 7.7. It's a bit high. Forecast
That's
dividend yield of
deep.
6.2%. Div cover 1.5, you want it above 2 ordinarily. Forecast growth is up to 53.8%. 21 years. So literally, since they IPO'd, they have been paying you a dividend and you've been compounding it over and over and over again. So that's the reason why I'm mentioning Admiral. If you don't already own it, definitely go and give it a little look. Putting up the details here regarding their performance over the last month or so, only up 3%, last 3 months, 5%, last 6 months, 21%, 1 year, up 20%, 3 years, 69.8, 10 years, 126. So compounding just shy of 12% over the last 10 years. But from 771 million market cap on IPO 21 years ago to a 10.5 billion and throwing off
Well,
dividends every single
I've
year.
got to give a shout out to another investing mentor of mine here, ladies and gents, because contrary to popular belief, I have not learned all that I know from Peter Higgins here. There
I
is
hope not.
actually another mentor that I have who I've never actually met in person, who goes by the name of John Kingham.
Ah, yes.
Now, some of you will know John. He's written some fantastic books. He's written a blog for a long time, longer than I have,
I've got his book upstairs.
all
I've got his book
about
upstairs somewhere.
UK dividend investing. And I learned a terrific amount from reading John's work over the years. And not only was John one of the first people to put me onto Admiral, John was the first person to ever put me on to Chesnara, which is now one of my largest holdings, which I've owned for a very, very long time. So yes, if you're interested in dividend investing, I don't generally give recommendations on shares, but John Kingham, ladies and gents, someone well worth Googling. His book is fantastic. And actually, if you write to him, he's a very nice chap, very, very friendly. So yes, I can safely say he's worth reading if you're interested in Admiral.
Absolutely, I absolutely agree. The book you're talking about, Henry, that I've got upstairs is The Defensive Value Investor, a complete
That's the
guide
one.
to building. Yeah. A Guide to
That is
Building
the one.
High Yield, Low Risk Share Portfolio. I'm trying to get the full title, but it was the
Yeah.
bottom of the page and I couldn't see it all. That ends the pause. But yeah, definitely a book worth purchasing. I've got the copy upstairs. I can't remember the full title. I've kept these two books at the side of me here, Henry, because this has just been released. I mentioned it months and months ago because I had an early copy of it. But this is also an American one as well. How to Not Invest, an alternative title, don't you think? Yeah, by Barry Ritholtz. The ideas, numbers, and behaviors that destroy wealth and how to avoid them. Foreword by Morgan Housel. It's got to be a good book if Morgan's going to put his name on there as well. Definitely a good
Speaking
book
of
to read.
Morgan
Sorry, go on.
Housel, I've actually got a copy of his new book, which my friend Faisal bought for me for my birthday. It arrived in the post the other day. He
I have not
forgot to
got a
send it.
copy of that yet.
There you go,
Oh, how dare you!
you see. It
How
arrived in
dare
the
you!
post, so I'm looking forward to reading that. I'm currently finishing off a book on Tony Blair. I'm in the last sort of last maybe 25 pages of it. It's all got very gloomy. But yes, Morgan Housel's the next one on the list.
Right, okay. No, it's a good call. Good call that book. I'm waiting to get my copy. I might have to go out and purchase it myself in a little while. Right, and then you've got this book. We had this talk at the Investor Summit, that brilliant Annabelle Brody Smith chaired that panel as well. And this is a fantastic book by Ted Seeds called Private Equity Deals, Lessons in Investing, Deal Making and Operating from Private Equity Professionals. Absolutely phenomenal book. Fantastic individual, is the founder of Capital Allocators, a platform that includes podcasts, gatherings, et cetera, advising allocators. Ted briefly worked with under David Swensen at Yale Investments Office. Tells you all you need to know. Those endowments need to be looked after, don't they, at Yale? So yeah, another phenomenal book there to recommend to you all. I'm conscious, Henry, that we've done an hour and a bit. You're on holiday and you've kindly come on the pod despite the fact you could be stumbling or mumbling out and about on the cobble streets of Santorini, enjoying, the nice sea air, the calming breeze, topping up your tan in Santorini. So thank you ever so much for joining us, mate. Unless you want to continue, we could wrap up here. I think we've covered a lot in the space of an hour and a bit.
We have covered a terrific amount, Peter. And I think that's a good episode. I think I'd just like to say thank you to everybody again that attended the Investor Summit. Thank you to everybody that made it happen. Fantastic day. If you've not listened to the last episode, please do. The screens on ShareScope are actually on the YouTube channel, so you can see what we were talking about. Little bit small, so I'd recommend full screening the video so that you can see it all in detail. But also, there is somebody that we completely forgot to mention, Peter, who was the lovely gentleman controlling the ShareScope screen whilst we were
Paul,
prancing around on stage.
Paul, Paul,
Paul,
Paul, Paul Hall, of course.
exactly. Without whom we would have been absolutely lost, I am certain. Stumbling
Absolutely.
around, falling off the stage, and all the rest of it without all the wonderful visuals behind us. So, thank you to Paul, and thank you again to the wonderful team at ShareScope, who have supported us, who support the podcast,
Absolutely.
and who do so much for us because they're sort of the unsung heroes of the channel a lot of the time. It's a wonderful platform, and if you are listening and you haven't already got a subscription, please, please, please go to the website. Go and have a look. There are trials available. There are discounts. You can use the Twin Peaks. I believe the code is actually just Twin Peaks.
It is, yeah, Twin Peaks with an S on the end, and you get a big discount on everything you do on that platform. Yeah,
Exactly.
wonderful, wonderful platform. We keep looking through it and finding nuggets in it. And I think the wonderful thing about what we did at the Investor Summit was the fact that I don't think that we had a lot of our fans, people that listen to the show. But we also had a lot of people that were there for the very, very, very first time looking and were intrigued by what we do. Who are these two random individuals that are going to be talking about
Probably
stocks
still
and,
are intrigued.
absolutely finding strategies, that can win in any condition of the markets. So people were sitting there. So what Henry and I did on that particular pod was Henry was the, we're doing the expert level things. And I was doing that, oh, what if I'm a newbie? So we did it from both sides of it, and I think people were captivated and learned a lot from that, because some of the stuff that we overlook here are the basic rudimentary things that we all need to know about what the company does. And that's all there. All that information's there actually on the platform. You start from the basics, who's the company, and then go A, B, C, all the way to Z, all the way through. And that way you've got a full picture of the company. I guarantee you, if you did a Google, if you went onto X or another platform, or you're in person and you said to somebody, who's the CEO of the company that you've got the most of your money in? Most people couldn't tell you. Where's the HQ'd? Most people couldn't tell you. How long have they been paying dividend? Most people couldn't tell you. But all of these things are important. Where did most of the products get sold from? Are they mainly UK centric? Do they get 100% of the revenue from the UK? Or is it in China? Or is it from Bangladesh? Or is it from France? Or where did the revenue come? Because all of that is impacted by what's going on a macro level, as Simon French, Charles Hall, John Stepek, and others mentioned at the Investor Summit. Got to get that all in your mind. Yeah. So Alpha Bank, what did most the HQ'd envy? I just double checked. HQ'd in London.
And you've
Madness.
never heard of them.
They've got an headquarter in London. Amazing. So yeah. Ladies and gents, Henry, mate, thank you ever so much for agreeing to come on the pod with me, despite being on holiday, taking the time out. I really, really appreciate it. And again, regarding the Investor Summit, it would not have been the pod, live pod, without your expertise, your input, insights, and allowing me to just freewheel and do the random walks of pulling somebody out of the audience and just going off piece. And I'm looking across at you at one stage, and I saw your look going, what the H are you doing? What are you doing? I'm going, no, it's all right. And I just went, because it came when something happened, as you've learned now, when something happens with me in the moment, I'm in the moment, and I just go.
So
Yeah.
true. But to be fair, I wouldn't trust many people to do that. You've got a platform behind us that could go horribly wrong. I've got a member of the audience we've never tested, let alone what the AV is going to do. That could have gone horribly wrong,
It
but
could
it worked
gone hor
blindly.
it could so have gone horribly wrong. It could so have gone wrong. The fact we didn't even have a mic for him, and I was like leaning in on my collar, like trying to give him my microphone at the start, and then Les came, Sam's wife came and gave me a mic for him as well. So yeah. But yeah, a big shout out to Matthew Gregory for gracing us with his fantastic insights and allowing me to pull him out randomly out of the audience. It doesn't mean I'm going to do that all the time, people. So do not be fearful that I'm going to do this at an event, because that's just not what I'm going to do. So don't be shy. Do come and see us again when we do another live pod. Okay, ladies and gents, I'm going to wrap up at this stage now. This is Peter Higgins at Conquers3 on X, Henry Viola here at HC Viola on X. That's a wrap for podcast 161. It is the 3rd of September. This will be coming out to you hopefully on Friday the 5th. Like, subscribe on all the channels. Give us some feedback on X and Blue Sky, LinkedIn, and also on X and YouTube, if I've not mentioned them already, what your thoughts are on the pod. We'll let Henry go and enjoy his holiday again now, folks. You enjoy, and hopefully the sun comes back, because it's been raining in London and raining in Leicestershire for the last couple of days. Henry, you enjoy your sun. But when you do come back, bring the sun back with you. I will cheers you with my non-alcoholic ginger beer. Salute your red wine. Love to Verity. Fantastic holiday and a safe journey back. We'll see you on the other side of your hole, sir. Take care.
Thank you
God
very
bless you, mate.
much.
God bless you all. Thanks, Henry.
Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.